Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everyone here today. We have a couple of Bibles that we need to give out to some folks, and I'm going to ask Colton Ray Gillen to come forward. He's here with Grandpa. Doug, what do they call you?
Pappy.
Pappy, okay. All right, that's a good name for you. And then Madison Marie Stewart. And Justin Green. Okay, all right, let's give them a hand, and we're glad to have them. Thank y'all. Thank y'all very much. You can be seated. Thank you. We will be having baptizing immediately after service today for anybody that does not know, so we invite you to stay for that immediately following service, okay? Thank you. Go ahead. Thank you, choir and congregation, for good singing this morning. It is good to see everyone here today. Those that are visiting with us today, we're glad to have you with us. I know that we have a lot of folks here today with us from Alabama. We're glad to have them with us today, so we promise not to make no Alabama jokes, right? I'm real acquainted with a guy that lives over in Alabama. Barry Beasley's his name, and me and him go on at one another all the time. And he says, you know good and well that the same jokes that you tell on us, we tell on you. And I said, I am very well aware of that. I said, but there's one thing about it. I said, how many bad storms come out of Georgia and go to Alabama, or bad storms come out of Alabama and come to Georgia? So anyway, we are glad to have you with us today. And anybody that's visiting with us, we're glad to have you, and hope you feel welcome and at home. Thank you again, choir, for the good singing this morning. And we just want to continue to praise the Lord. We're so thankful for those that come forward today, from the youngest to the middle age to older, that's a part of our church, and we're just glad to have them. At this time, I'm going to ask these ladies to play for us, and would you please stand and take a moment of time and shake hands with someone seated there around you, if you would, please. Yeah, if you have a Bible and you'd like to read along, you can turn with us to the book of Haggai, second chapter. We invite you to read along with us. You find a Bible right there in the pew rack in front of you. If you can find the book of Matthew, just flip back a couple of books. Matter of pages, really, and you'll be there. What I want to share with all of us today, and what we see in this passage, I think, that sometimes is overlooked, perhaps, or not much is given to it, or not a lot of thought is put into it, but it's a danger of comparison, the danger of comparison, and you'll see what I'm talking about when we read this passage of Scripture. Haggai chapter number 2. Verses 1 through 3 is all we're going to read. In the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that has saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? I want us to go back just real briefly and quickly, and so you'll understand what's going on with these people, and you'll understand really where I'm going with all of this. 586 B.C., the southern kingdom is overtaken. They come in there, the people are carried into captivity into Babylon, and the temple is destroyed. The temple that Solomon built and all of its glory and everything that was prestigious about it, they had utterly destroyed that temple. Well, some time had passed, 50 plus years had passed. There were some of the people that had been taken captivity that had been allowed to go back to Jerusalem, and they had been there, and they had started on rebuilding the temple. They had started back, building back the temple that had been destroyed. Okay? So there they are. They've got a building program going. They've been working on it for about 16 years. And all of a sudden, in that 16-year time period, they do not get it done, and then they decide to just stop right there. They quit working on it. Well, then God raises up this prophet, Haggai, that we just read about, and how the word of the Lord comes to him and he speaks a prophetic message to the people and encourages them and gives them a word to continue on. So when Haggai comes along and he speaks to the people, well, all of a sudden they start back on this building program. And they're going along and they're doing pretty good, but they're only a month into it, just 1 month into it, and all of a sudden they stop again. Well, what's happened to these people? Discouragement. Discouragement. How many of us in our own life, sometimes you're walking along, you're doing pretty good in your Christian walk and life with the Lord, and you're going along, and then all of a sudden, discouragement comes along, and it's what sets you back. It stops you. You're ready to quit work. You're ready to stop. You're ready to, just throw the towel in and say, you know what, I quit. It's kind of what those people were doing, and it was because of comparison. There's always a reason in life why people become discouraged. There's, we could all think of multiple things in our lives that would cause us to become discouraged about situations, about our walk with the Lord, about what we're going on in our everyday life. But what happened to these people and what took place in this particular time, what happened to these people? They became discouraged, and their discouragement came in the form of comparison. That's why I said comparison is a very dangerous thing. Now, in keeping with what's going on with this passage of Scripture and taking place with these people, and we see this discouragement that's come along, and we see why that discouragement has come along, because they have come to a place where they have begun to compare. Now, what was these people comparing? Well, they had looked and they had seen this temple there that they were building. And there was some of the folks that would have still been alive in that time that would have actually have seen the first temple, and if they didn't see the first temple, there would have been plenty of people there that would have told them what it was all about and what it was like, and the beauty of it, the splendor of it, the glory of it, how beautiful it was, all the gold and silver that was inlaid in it and everything. And now they're looking at this temple and they're thinking to themselves, you know what? This is just never going to work, because it's never going to measure up to what we had before. It's never going to be what we once had. It's just never going to be there. Now, if you wonder how to really take this into comparison, most everybody, you've either perhaps been there or you've seen a picture of the Biltmore House. Right? You know how beautiful that place is, and all the craftsmanship that's gone into, and the detailed work that's on the inside of that home. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful place to go and visit and look at. Well, if you went to the Biltmore House and looked at that and then come over to 4940 Howard Road, you'd probably have a good idea of what I'm talking about, and that's where I live. There'd be no comparison. There'd be absolutely no comparison to the two. And that's pretty much what the situation was in the life of the children of Israel. They were looking, God's people were looking back and looking at what that temple was and all that it represented. And again, all the beauty and splendor that went into it, and everything that was so ornate, and all the details that you can read about, and all the time that was put into it of David gathering everything, and then Solomon coming along and building that beautiful temple that God had instructed to be built. And then all of a sudden it's destroyed. And here they are trying to build back this temple that's scaled way down. Doesn't talk about all the beauty and splendor. In fact, there's a lot of murmuring going on about it and everything. And that's why God sends Haggai, and he says to him, he said, well, how do you see this now? And what they were guilty of, like I said, they were guilty of comparison. Now, the reason that I said there's something that we miss in this a lot of times is because what was happening to those people were that they wasn't going to be satisfied with the temple that God had instructed them to rebuild, because they were constantly looking back and comparing to what the old one was. Now, where does this all fit in, and a story like this relevant in our life today? Well, I hope you're coming along with me. When you start comparing everything and making comparisons, you're going to find yourself just exactly like these people were. You're going to find yourself looking at everything and thinking, you know what? This is never going to measure up in my life. This is never going to be what it once was. And sometimes churches is guilty of doing nothing but always looking back at the past and comparing what we are today to the past. Well, let me tell you something, folks. There is not a single one of us. You cannot go back and relive or rehash the past. It's behind us. But that's what had happened to those people. They just continually were looking to the past. And what happens when you and I, if we fall into that trap as a church, what happens to us if we are continually looking at the past? Well, what we'll miss is what God has for the present. And then we're going to miss not only what God has for the present, but what God has for the future. Because if you go on and you read on down further, He plainly tells them that the glory of this house is going to be far greater than the glory was of that house. And all they had to glory in was the beauty of that. But you know what? The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, it was prophetic in what He was saying, is going to be in that temple. He's going to walk in that temple. He's going to teach in that temple. He's going to talk in that temple. But those folks couldn't get beyond looking at just how simple it looked in comparison to what they had had before. So they fell into the game of comparison. And they were guilty of looking back and making comparison. And a lot of times, folks, in our personal life, how many times are you and I, are we guilty of looking back and comparing and wondering what the present holds and what the future holds, and we can't get into the present, and we certainly can't look to the future because we're too busy looking at the past? Instead of realizing that God is shaping and molding and making you and I every day in our lives, those people were guilty of looking back. Living in the past, folks, never works for nobody. You can sit around and we could all talk about the good old days and the glory of the church back yonder and all these things that it used to do. And I'm glad you have a heritage. By all means, we ought to be proud of that, and we are. But we've got to live in the present today and in the future of what God has promised for you and I, and look to it. That's what those folks just absolutely could not get beyond. They just kept looking back and being in comparison. So there's a danger in comparison, a very great danger. Now, bring it on home a little bit closer, folks, in our world today. So many people are so disillusioned with life. Do you know why? Because they're playing the game of comparison. Do you know where that delusion starts at a lot of times? And I know you folks think that I just harp on this and get on to you about it and everything, and I'm not. I promise you I'm not. But most of folks' delusions of life comes from social media. You look at everybody else and you think that their family is perfect. Let me tell you something. When the snapshot was made, everybody might have been smiling, but I guarantee you sometime or another, the supper was burnt. Sometime or another, they went in the house and there was a disagreement about parenting. But you look at it and you see everybody's trip and you see everybody's vacation and you see what everybody's doing and you think, oh, I wish I could be like them. I wish my little family was just like that. Do you see that's exactly what those people was doing? That's what you and I learn from today. Is don't go through life comparing yourself. Don't go through life comparing your family to everybody else's family. Because everybody, don't compare your life. Because I assure you that every moment of life is not a Kodak moment. If you live in the real world, it's just not that, folks. And don't be disillusioned into buying into the fact that every time, listen, every sunset you see is not always beautiful. Some are spectacular, aren't they? Sometimes you can see a sunset and man, it is just absolutely beautiful. And sometimes you look at some and think, this sunset today. Don't get caught up in comparing. Because, listen, you will never live up to the self-imposed standards if you start doing that. We could look at a lot of things here in this church. We're very proud of a young man that come out of our church that's made it to professional baseball. Very proud of that young man. But you know what? If you compare your child's ball playing to his, you may just be disappointed in life. That's just a fact. Don't do that. It's not about comparison. It'll cause you to suffer. It caused these people to suffer because they compare. It'll cause you to suffer when you look and you look at somebody else's family and you think that theirs is just grand and glorious. And what in the world has happened to mine? I want to tell you something. Yours is okay. The Bible, you can sit around and think, my goodness, my family's dysfunctional. The Bible's full of dysfunctional families. So you're in a good class of people, is what I'd tell you. Don't get too discouraged about stuff like that. Don't fall into a trap of comparing. And that's exactly what had happened with these folks in this Old Testament passage. So do you see why it's relevant to you and I, or what it says to you and I today? Don't fall into that trap of comparing. Let God build you and mold you and make you into the person that you are and who He wants you to be. And you walk in your life and your walk with Christ and let it be the walk that the Lord wants it to be. And you don't have to compare yourself to anybody. If you want to try your best to line up with somebody, do your level best to line up with Jesus. If you want to line up with somebody, line up with Him. If you want to look at somebody to be that you can try to mold and make your life after, mold and make it after the man called Jesus. Don't fall in to a trap of comparison, because you'll never measure up, you'll never be satisfied, and you will never be happy in life. These folks was just simply not going to be happy with what God was doing because it didn't look as grand and glorious as the former. Do you see? They couldn't see that God was working right there among them. God was doing something. God was rebuilding. God was wanting to so desperately be a part of those people's lives. And they couldn't see that. They couldn't see past the nose on their face because they were too concerned about comparison. And couldn't understand that God said, you know what? This temple's going to be greater. And you know what else He said? When He talks about that gold and silver, you know what He says in there? He said, all that belongs to me anyway. That's what He tells them. He says, every bit of that belongs to me. It's all mine. Whether there's gold and silver in that temple or not, the gold and silver's all mine, He says. So folks, don't get caught up in that trap. I'm gonna leave you with one other thing over in the 2 Corinthians, it is. 2 Corinthians. Paul even says something about about falling into the trap of comparison. I do have Corinthians in my Bible, I promise. 2 Corinthians, now listen to the words of Paul, because this is exactly, you could look at that and some folks could think, well, preacher, that's Old Testament. Is it relevant to us today? Does it mean anything to us today? Does it have bearing on our lives today? Very much so. Because Paul himself speaks about comparison. Chapter number 10, verse number 12, 2 Corinthians. Listen to what he said. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So do you understand? Listen, just to put it in old Southern terms, this is what Paul was saying. He said, you foolish in life to start comparing yourself to everybody else. That's what he was saying. So don't fall in the trap, folks, of comparison. Strive to be like Jesus. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing over here. You worry and focus on what God is, the task that's at hand right before you. Because that's what the people had failed at. Doing what God had called them out to do. They'd work a while and they'd stop. They'd get discouraged, they'd go back. Discouragement comes in a lot of forms, but folks, I tell you what, you get discouraged in life if you let comparison be a part of your life. And the Bible tells you and I to not let comparison be a part of your life. God bless you this morning. My prayer, stand together if you would, please. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation this morning. If there's anyone here today that you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, we're going to give you that opportunity while we sing this verse of song.